I'm reading from Mark 1, verses 14 to 15. Jesus announces the good news. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Well, thank you, Mel, for reading out those passages of Scripture for us. It's great to have you involved in the service this morning. When I was young, there are a number of people in my life that I looked up to. My dad comes to mind, my older cousin, but none more so than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was one whose life I knew inside out. I would emulate his every move. I'd want to model him on the basketball court. I would look up to Michael Jordan. I knew everything about his life more than anyone else's. And over the past few weeks, I've been watching, along with millions around the world, a documentary series titled The Last Dance. It's for sport lovers all around the world who have been watching it. It's been rated highly on Netflix. But the 10-part series follows the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan in their last season as a championship-winning team. Michael Jordan was someone I emulated, I modeled, I looked up to. And by watching this series, I've learned much more about him than I didn't already know about. I'm sure there's similar people in your life as well. People that you've looked up to, that you've made heroes or idols in your life, where you've learned about their life. And if I asked you where these people were born or what they did for a living, a career, who they looked up to, I'm sure that you would be able to answer me those questions. But if I was to ask you similar questions about Jesus, is he someone you look up to? Is he someone that you passionately want to emulate within your life? Is he someone that you could tell others about his life and the way he went about his life as well? What about if someone asked you, this Jesus fellow that walked this earth, this Jesus guy, he did a lot of preaching out there. He did a lot of teaching. What was the key thing that he spoke about? Do you know the key message that he tried to teach people when he walked this earth? Well, if that hypothetically happened to you, fantastic. That means that person is searching and wanting to know Jesus deeper. But if someone came to you with that question, what was the key message of Jesus' teaching in all that he did throughout his earthly ministry? What was the underlying message, the key message? How would you answer that question? Well, in the Gospel of Matthew alone, the common theme that runs through the fabric of Matthew, and in fact, the entire, all of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is a key theme about the kingdom of God. And in the book of Matthew alone, this notion of the kingdom of God shows up in Jesus' teachings at least 32 times. And countless other times throughout the other synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The kingdom of God was the central underlying message of all of Jesus' teachings. And all that he said and did, it was all revolving around this idea of the kingdom of God. Some of those statements that we read in the book of Matthew in particular, Matthew chapter 13, I encourage you to read that chapter at some point over the next week or so. Some of the sayings that Jesus said in Matthew 13, 31, he said, "The kingdom of God," or "the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed." In Matthew 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in the field." "The kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls," Jesus says in Matthew 13, 45. And in Matthew 13, 47, he says, "The kingdom of God is like a net." Hopefully I've enticed you to look into those passages and to find out more about what Jesus is saying. But it goes on and on. The two key passages of Scripture that highlight the importance of this idea, however, are those two passages that Mel read out to us earlier on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. In Matthew chapter 9. He teaches them the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer familiar with each and every one of us. And it's something we spoke about the other week, but this obviously forms the basis of our series, Your Kingdom Come. But he says in this passage to his disciples, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that we've recited many times for those who have been Christians for quite a while now. The other passage was Mark 1, 14 and 15, which Mel again read out to us. And this gives us the account of when Jesus proclaimed and declared the start of his earthly ministry among us. And he says in this passage that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Again, we often recite this prayer, "Thy kingdom come, your will be done," so often. And we should at least know about this key passage in the book of Mark where Jesus declares and proclaims the start of his preaching ministry, but his earthly ministry among us. But when you say that word, or when you pray that prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," do you know what you are praying for? Do you, in fact, know what you are asking God to do in our midst? Because if we did know Jesus inside out, like some of those people that we've looked up to in our lives, some of those people that we know their backstories and their life stories inside out, if we knew Jesus like that, we would clearly understand what Jesus is in fact inviting his disciples to pray, and in fact inviting each and every one of us to pray as well. We would also know and understand what Jesus is referring to when he says, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." Well, first and foremost, what we see Jesus saying in this way is that the kingdom of God is a universal kingdom. We see this aspect of the kingdom of God, particularly in the Old Testament. And while the kingdom of God is not really a phrase that is used in the Old Testament per se, it's very much an Old Testament idea. Take a look, for instance, in Psalm 145, verse 11 to 13, where it says, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all that he does." Amen. So what this passage is saying is that the kingdom of God is very much a present reality which God very much rules and reigns. The kingdom of God, however, is also a coming kingdom. And we see this later on in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Daniel. In Daniel 7, verse 27, we see this kingdom of God, very much becoming an eschatological kingdom. Eschatology is the study of the end times. And this is what it says in Daniel 7, 27. "Then the sovereignty, the power, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him." All rulers, all kingdoms, all people will worship and obey him. The key here is that where it says his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, where all rulers will worship and obey him. So the kingdom on one hand is a universal kingdom, a present kingdom, which God is very much ruling over right here, right now. But on the other hand, it's a coming kingdom. It's also emphasizing the future reign of God. And both of these themes is what Jesus is picking up on, particularly when he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So for God's kingdom to come means for all people to submit to his authority so that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's also a very, very much a future state, which reinforces time and time again that his followers, his disciples, will enter into and inherit this kingdom one day. And praise God for that reality. He achieved that for us once again on the cross of Calvary. But the thing that was so radical about what Jesus taught, and the very thing that upset the Pharisees and the religious leaders in his midst, was that this end times kingdom was coming in and through Jesus' very words and actions. And he taught that. That this very kingdom is coming through every word I speak, through every action I undertake. And this upset them. They didn't like this. It's ultimately what sent Jesus to the cross. And so with all of this in mind, what does this have to do with you and I? What is our purpose? Why does this matter? Well, if we turn to what missiologist David Bosch says in his book, Transforming Mission, he says this: the mission of God's people, this idea of mission and the kingdom of God, they're very much linked. He says, the mission of God's people is to alert everyone everywhere to the universal reign of God through Christ. The mission of God's church, you and I as his people, is to alert everyone everywhere of the universal reign of God through Christ. Ultimately, you and I are to be vessels of this kingdom, to enthuse this kingdom so it comes cascading out of our lives. And we again should believe as Christians that God reigns totally, utterly, and completely. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God reigns totally, utterly, and completely? They may not feel like it in times like this, but this is the hope that we are clinging to, and we're going to dive further into that over the coming weeks. But the Bible teaches us that his reign is total and utter through Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, and his ascension up back to the Father. And our job is to let everyone know that Jesus is King, that he is the one, the chosen one, the Messiah of this world, and to explain and show to them, in fact, what it looks like. So what does it look like? How does this rule and reign look in our lives? Well, Mike Frost, in his book, The Road to the Missional, very much unpacks this for us. And around this time of year, I always encourage us to be reading a particular book. And this is the book I want to encourage you all to maybe purchase and look into buying and reading through May Mission Month, The Road to the Missional. Because in this book, Mike emphasizes four key characteristics of the kingdom of God. And these four characteristics are the very much what we're going to be diving into in the next few weeks. For what Mike says is that the kingdom of God is one of beauty. The kingdom of God is one of justice, reconciliation, and wholeness. Beauty, justice, reconciliation, and wholeness. It obviously is much, much more than that as well. But these are the key characteristics and attributes of the kingdom that scripture very much alerts us to, and the aspects of the kingdom that we want to be diving into over the next four weeks as we work through May Mission. But what I love about Mike's book is that he encourages us again to live this out in our lives. How do we become vessels of beauty, justice, reconciliation, and wholeness? A good picture for us as a church to get our heads around is a picture I've spoken about before, is understanding your life and mine as a movie trailer. Obviously, when we go to the movies, which we hope is not too far away, we can get back to doing things like that. When we go to the movies, before the big feature film, there's a bunch of trailers of up-and-coming films that are shown before the main movie, isn't there? And in these movie trailers, They usually show the best bits of the upcoming feature film. They would be foolish to show us the worst parts of the movie, wouldn't they? There's no way we would go and see it. But these movie trailers, they show us the best scenes with special effects, the funniest scenes in the movie. And that's once again there so that we would be enticed to go and watch this particular movie. Well, likewise in our lives, if we want the world to experience love and reconciliation, then we need to be the trailer of love and reconciliation. If we want this world to experience beauty and wholeness, then we need to emulate beauty and wholeness within our lives. And the end, or the reason why we do that, is so that they, those people in our lives, can one day want to embrace and become part of this beautiful, big blockbuster film called The Kingdom of God. That is why we seek to do that, amen? And not just that, but also to see this world restored and to see this world return back to the way it was before sin entered this world. So with all this in mind, how does that fit into May Mission Month, you may be asking? Maybe you're not. Well, May Mission Month again is all about reminding ourselves of the fact and seeking to extend these characteristics of God's kingdom in the world, both locally and also globally, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just want to pause there for just a minute because this is central to our understanding of the kingdom of God. We need to understand the role of the Holy Spirit as central to the kingdom of God and central to the life of the believer. In John 16:7, Jesus says to his disciples, "But very truly I tell you, it is far better that I go away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Advocate, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who would ultimately undertake the work of God in and through us, Jesus had to go back to the Father so that we would receive his Holy Spirit, so that we can become, so that there would be millions upon millions of little Jesuses doing his work in this world. Not just one Jesus, but millions of Jesus by the power, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is so essential to understanding the kingdom of God and how it is extended and furthered in and through us. Ultimately, you and I are vessels of the kingdom. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit, whose role, the Holy Spirit's role, is to further equip us and to encourage us and to mobilize us out into our communities, our neighborhoods, ultimately this world. This is what Jesus came to do. And all the miracles he performed, all the deeds that he did, all the words that he spoke, was all geared towards furthering the kingdom of God and furthering it into each life that he interacted with. So when we raise money to build a well, or when we fund an agricultural program in Uganda like we did with Love Mercy last year, or when we support those who are actively serving in the overseas mission fields, or when we come to simply pray for May Mission Month and global mission, ultimately what we are praying for and asking for is God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in and through us as individuals and as a local church. In doing all this, we are ultimately cascading again the ways of the kingdom into people's lives. We are saying to God that we want wholeness to come about. We want beauty to manifest in this world. And we want people all around the world to experience all that which we are blessed to experience in this nation and all that is available to us in and through putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. It's much more than just doing a nice deed for someone who is less fortunate than us. Friends and family, it's much more than that. It goes a lot deeper than that. And so again, we have these projects that have obviously been scaled back because of the situation, but we want to encourage you to get behind them in a great way, in an incredible way. And we again encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can give how you can pray, and how you can engage with cross-cultural mission this year as we continue through May Mission Month 2020. Ultimately, in all of this, for you and I to get behind this May Mission Month this year, and for us to live this out in our daily lives, we need a vision for the kingdom. A vision that all of this will be inaugurated and manifest in our lives. And that vision ought to be a kingdom-orientated vision and a kingdom-focused purpose. And as I said a few weeks back, Jesus is the one to give us clear eyes for the vision, 2020 vision for his kingdom. He is the one that is able to make this all clear again for us. Because this is what it comes down to, isn't it? Beauty, justice, reconciliation, wholeness. These are the aspects of the kingdom, the characteristics of the kingdom that ought to characterize our life as it did for Jesus Christ when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Can I pray for us? Father God, our prayer this morning in all of this is that you would be the one who gives us that vision for the kingdom. That it would be so impactful upon our lives, that it would so impact our lives, that it would mobilize us into our communities, into our neighborhoods, but also around the world as we seek to share of your goodness and your generosity to all people from all nations. Lord, as we come to May Mission Month for this year and come to navigate through it in a very different way, we ask for your blessing, we ask for your wisdom, and we ask for your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray.